The title of today's message is called Because We Win. We're in this series where we're talking about resilient faith, and that's important. I think sometimes our struggle is not necessarily circumstantial struggle. It's not because we're going through something. Maybe it's because maybe our faith isn't rooted in necessarily what it should be. And so as I was looking at this year and I was talking about maybe what we wanted to talk about, I thought, I want a resilient faith this next year. I don't know what God has for us in 2025. I guarantee you there will be exciting things and there will be challenging things. There will be big highs and there will be big lows. You're going to have to walk through some stuff and you're probably going to celebrate some stuff. Hopefully there's an Eagles Super Bowl win in there somewhere, but we don't know. I need a resilient faith for both the good and the bad. Last week we talked about how you can only have a resilient faith if you are built on the right foundation. We've been walking through Daniel, first six chapters through this series, and last week we were in Daniel, the beginning of the story in Daniel chapter 1 and Matthew, where Jesus says, what you build your house on is what makes your faith resilient. There are wise builders and there are foolish builders, and you can be a believer and still be a foolish builder. And that was, you got to check it out last week if you want it. I don't have time to re-preach it. Today, we're talking about because we win. That's part of resilient, why you can have a resilient faith. It's because we know if you are a person of faith, you believe in Jesus, and you belong to him this morning, we know that eventually, no matter what, we win. Now, it seems weird to me talking about winning this early in a series. Usually we wait till the end. We want to make sure the last whistle has blown. There's no flags on the field. Sorry about all the football references today. I've been watching a lot of it. We want to make sure the game is over before we start celebrating, because there's nothing like celebrating early and then being wrong and the game really wasn't over and the loss is still coming. There's nothing like it. But for us, our confidence is sealed. It's different. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about something different. I grew up in a culture where my family and very competitive, all the way back, very competitive family. Winning was a big deal. And if you weren't careful in my family, you got the idea. Well, you didn't just pick it up. It was said, winning is everything. Have you ever heard that? Winning is everything. I remember my grandfather watching us for a week. My parents were away. My grandfather and grandmother were up watching us, and we loved my grandfather. We called him Poppy, and he was great with us as kids and a very creative man, fun to be around, very strict, though, and so I have to throw that out there because that'll help. This makes sense, but like, so you got some of you play hide the wine when certain people come over? Do you play that? No, we're not allowed to talk about that in church. Right? My grandfather, just making sure you're awake, man, because I wasn't feeling it. My grandfather was so conservative that, like, when we would go to the beach, our parents would be like, yo, don't break out the real playing cards. You know, because somehow a real deck of playing cards to my grandfather he thought it meant something weird and it was evil and you can't play with those. If you pick up a deck of cards, you're going to become a gambler and ruin your life. That was kind of, I don't know if that was his mentality, but he was a strict man, but a lot of fun. And I remember he was watching me play a soccer game in high school, and it was a very physical game against a very good opponent, and it was a lot of banging around, and it got rough, and it was close, and we ended up losing at the end of this game. My very competitive but very conservative grandfather came up to me after the game, and I was a goalkeeper. I wasn't feeling great at the time, and would have been nice to get some encouragement. Instead, he decided this was a moment where he needed to impart some wisdom on me. And so he got real close to me and he said, Josh, if you can't win fair, cheat and win. I got to hide playing cards from this guy? Serious? A winning mentality when you're talking about a game can get you in a lot of trouble. It is not worth selling your integrity to win a game. And I want to make that really clear up front. Because what we're talking about when it comes to our faith and when it comes to life, winning is everything, but life is not a game. It's not a competition. And I just want you to... People feel different ways about winning. There are people who are just like, winning is everything and super competitive. And then there are people that just don't even care. And there are people that make losing just part of their culture and they're okay with it. And there are people that just expect to win and stop doing the things that got them there. We got a weird relationship with winning and competition. And you just need to know that when I'm talking about winning today, your life is not a game. But it is a battle. And some of you feel that. You feel that battle raging, maybe even right now. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "There's a thief who has come to steal and kill and destroy." And this thief is our enemy, and our enemy does not like you. He doesn't want to see you here. He doesn't want to see you growing. He doesn't want to see you living a life for Jesus. He doesn't want to see you stepping into your purpose. He doesn't want to see your marriage make it. He doesn't want to see you move from unhealthy to healthy. He doesn't want to see you free from whatever mental struggles you're dealing with. The enemy has come and tries to usher into your life destruction and utter defeat. Life is not a game, but you're in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6, it just lays it out like so clearly. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." I don't want that stuff to be true. But the struggle that you are facing in your life is deeper than just the surface stuff you think it is. Whether we want to ignore it or not, whether we think it's true or we don't think it's true, whether we think it's just sort of some sort of like exaggeration in spiritual terms or not, it doesn't matter. The reality of our lives is that you are in the middle of a battle, whether you want to be or not, and that battle is for your soul. And that battle is for your heart. But the good news is, Jesus said that while there's an enemy who only wants your destruction, I have come that you may have life and not just some regular, mundane, barely getting by kind of life. He said, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full." Winning isn't everything. When you're talking about a game. But it is everything when you're talking about this. There's a lot of lessons in Daniel chapter 1 about winning. I can't read the whole thing because we just don't have time. If you go check out last week's sermon, it's super important to this whole series. It's the foundation of the series. It's the foundation of your life. You can go catch it online. You'll see a guy with a terrible haircut just growing out. Why did you guys not tell me that looked so bad? Love speaks truth. Nobody ever said, "Dude, go see your barber." None of our staff ever said it. Daniel chapter 1, I got to give you the real quick, short version. I had a lot of coffee. Daniel chapter 1, the short version is like Daniel is in Jerusalem and the Babylonians have taken over. They've taken Jerusalem. Jerusalem has fallen and they've taken captives to serve in the Babylonian kingdom. And they've kind of taken what they thought were the best of the best to get trained, to be fed, to be built up. And then those guys are going to be serving in the king's court. Daniel is one of those guys with a couple of his buddies. And Daniel, they had a guy appointed to them who was in charge of their training and their nutrition and their workout regimen and to teach them all the things. It was a masterclass in manipulation by the Babylonian emperor. It's just a masterclass and like rip them from their home, give them a new identity, name them something different, just throw all of the goodies on them, give them all the stuff. Here's all the steaks, here's all the wine, here's all the party stuff you want. Just trying to like manipulate these guys and prepare them for service in the king's court. Daniel goes like, I'm not going to do it. He resolved in his heart. He knew that God had something better, and he knew that God showed him how to get there. And for Daniel in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew culture, that had a lot to do with what they were supposed to eat and what they weren't supposed to eat. And so Daniel says, I can't eat this stuff. I'm not going to do it. The guy freaks out. He liked Daniel, but he freaks out. He's like, okay, so I would love to let you eat vegetables this whole time, but I'm going to get in big trouble if I show you along with these other guys who are eating steak and you look like some scrawny little wimp and these guys are pretty jacked. The king's going to be pretty mad at me. And Daniel, he says, it says he resolved in verse 8 not to defile himself with the royal food and wine and asked the chief official for permission. And he said, I'm afraid the Lord, the king who assigned me to you, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men? The king would have my head because of you. Then Daniel says to the guard who was appointed over them, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, and they were to drink and gave them vegetables and said, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding, all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his servants, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the other magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel knew it was bigger than veggies and steak. That the fight he was in was not a dietary fight, but a spiritual one. You got to know that. Daniel also knew that winning for him was inevitable. That's the first. I got 6 things that we can take out of these verses I just read. And that's the first one. You can know. You want a resilient faith? You have to know that as a person of faith who has trusted Jesus with your heart, that the win is inevitable for you. He just has all kinds of swagger. He just like walking into this situation with just extreme confidence. It says in 1 John Chapter 5, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. But you're walking around defeated? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Daniel knew who his God was, and so he knew that no matter what happened in this king, in this under this king, in this foreign country, no matter what happens at work, no matter what happens in your marriage, no matter what happens in school this week as you're heading back to college, no matter what happens with that friend on Facebook who you feel like's talking trash about you, no matter what happens when that relationship you've invested the last 3 months of your life in and you thought he was the one or you thought she was the one, no matter what, should the world come crumbling down on you, no matter what the doctor says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, we overcome everything. And the win for you is inevitable. That's why we're talking about this up front instead of at the end. It's because some of you need your confidence back. You lost your swagger. You forgot who your God is. You forgot that you're his kid. His promises aren't ringing in your ear. All the lies are. And you have to know, you're not a loser. You're not defeated. You're not a failure. You are an overcomer. That's not fluff talk. That's what the Bible says your identity is. Need your confidence back? No, the second thing that I think is so powerful in this passage is to understand is that sometimes the winning doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. This didn't look like how they would draw it up. They don't get to this win the way we would draw up getting to this win. We'd be like, you need some protein powder to go with those vegetables. I got a pretty good shake, right? Like, let's throw some 45 plates on the end of this bar, you little weakling. You know, and we're going to put some creatine in that water that you're drinking because that's how you get to win like this. You know, that's how we draw it. But wins don't always make sense. They didn't make sense to the guards. If Daniel didn't understand what God had said for him to do, they wouldn't have made sense for Daniel. If you belong to Jesus but don't understand what God says for you to do, it won't make sense to you either. Our wins look different. I've seen people that on the outside have seemed to have suffered paralyzing defeats, and yet their hearts are filled with joy. I watched people I love walk through cancer and lose children. On the outside, there isn't a defeat that gets bigger than those kind of defeats, but yet still walk through that kind of grief with a lot of pain, but with victory in one of their hands. The wins don't make sense to the world, but when you understand God and what he says, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't even matter if anybody else gets it or not, you just know that eventually you will experience the victory that has already been won for you. It's not about making yourself great. That's not how you get to this victory. It's not how you experience it. It's about making God greater. Here's the third thing. You got to give it time. Sometimes I have people, right, like they come into my office and they've been to church for 4 Sundays and they're like, bought a new Bible and they're all excited about it. And that's you, great. That's a great place to start. But they'll come in and they'll be confused because things may have gotten worse over the last 4 weeks. Have you ever experienced that, right? Like you're inspired and you're like, God, I'm going to do your thing. I'm going to follow you. You even prayed it during the last two worship songs before you scooted out. Most days you scoot out during those. This day you stayed. And you had a moment with God, and then you go home and things get worse, right? And it's confusing. But we're not in this thing. What kind of game are you playing? This isn't a sprint. This life thing is a marathon. It's a journey with God. And the wins aren't always instant. It took time. Daniel knew his expectation was right. He knew, I might not look better than them tomorrow, but I'll look better than them eventually. I might not be stronger than them this week, but give me a couple weeks and you'll see it. Don't give up right before your breakthrough. Don't quit following Jesus just because this week got hard. Stick. Stay. Give time to work inside you. And give time for God to work inside your circumstances. Here's the fourth thing. We win, but it also might cost you something. Now, Jesus paid all of it on the cross. But those steaks sure would have looked good day 8 after eating stinking broccoli for 7 days. I don't care how much you like vegetables. At some point, I'm like, I gotta bite into something that isn't steamed, right? Like, no, you disagree with me? And now I just offended all the vegetarians out there. I got no problem with that. I just like, I don't wanna give up steak just to do the broccoli plan, you know? Like, I don't wanna give up. Like, there are things that taste better than water. You fill in the blank. I'll take some Capri Suns, man. I steal them. I steal them from my kids all the time. Yeah. But sometimes you got to give up what's good to get to what's greater. Maybe that's why you're stuck spiritually. I don't know. I just don't feel it anymore. I'm not getting anything out of it. Listen, that has nothing to do with the worship, the preaching, the books you stack on the table next to your bed. I forgot what the nightstand was called there for a minute. Maybe you're stuck spiritually because you're sacrificing the greater things God has for you because something feels good in a moment. Man, there's just so much more for you. The win has already been won. But do you ever meet somebody that won and doesn't know it? You ever in an argument with somebody and you like 5 minutes ago said, you're right, sweetie. You're right, you win, you're right. But they keep going and you're like, do they not know they won? There's a whole lot of Christians who walk around, they have won, but they don't know they won. They haven't experienced that they've won. And sometimes to experience what God has for you, the win, you got to give up what's good in the short term for what's greater in the long term. Daniel made some sacrifices. That's how much he believed. It'll cost you something. But ultimately, here's 5, and we're going to jump to 6 real fast. God supplies everything you need. God has supplied you with gifts. He supplied you with your talents. He will supply you with opportunities as you're following him. God is the one who supplies the winds. He is the source of everything. James says that every good and perfect spiritual gift comes from the Father in heaven. We think we've earned it. We've worked hard. I'm really smart. Look what I've built. But the entire time, it's been God giving me the opportunity. He gave me the brain. He gave me the giftedness. It's always been him. It's always been him. And now I know when, even when I fail on my end, it always was him. It always will be him. He'll usher in the victory I need to see in my life. 1 John 4:4. So you are from God and have overcome them because, not because of you, because the one, do you know this verse? Some of you need to like circle this verse, 1 John 4:4. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John 16:33. In me, Jesus says, you will have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Here's the last thing you got to know. There is no win equal to this win I'm talking about. This isn't just win by a little. This wasn't just an overtime win. Romans 8 says we are more than conquerors, more than conquerors. You don't just win, you win big with Jesus. It's just not a little bit, it's a lot. The win is complete. And when it comes to what matters most, you will be undefeated because you are more than a conqueror through him who has loved you. So what do we do, right? Like, here's three things to do. Declare the truth of your victory. That's how you defeat the lies that are being spit at you. You have to declare truth. You got to remind the enemy that you already won. When you're ready to give up, you got to remind yourself that you are an overcomer, not because of how good you are or how much energy you have, but because of what he has done in you and will do through you. When you're sitting in that doctor's office getting that bad news, you got to remind yourself that it may take some time, but ultimately you're going to see victory. And if not on this earth, then when in the next one, right? Like, you have to remind yourself, declare the truth of the win to dispel and defeat the lies. Walk confidently in your faith. You don't got to eke through life. No matter what you face, no matter what they say, you can stand confidently before God and before the world. Carry some swagger into your circumstances. You're going to be all right. It may not be okay, but you are going to be all right. And the last thing is, how about a little pre-praise? We often celebrate at the end. You can start celebrating at the beginning. In fact, let's do it right now as I pray and worship team comes up. God, we thank you that the victory is already yours. You've won it at the cross, through the empty tomb. And that grave stands open, sealing our victory. Nothing in this life and nothing in death can steal it from us. Our victory is in you and through you. And you have given us all that we need, supplied us with everything so that we don't just have to wait till heaven to experience our victory. We can experience it right now in how you're working in our circumstances, no matter what we're going through. We are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors through you and your love for us. I'm fired up, and maybe I should sound calmer with my tone, but I'm not trying to scare anybody. We just need to see. Just need to see that our faith is resilient because we already won. We already won. Would you just fill some people during these last two songs with confidence in who you are and what you're going to do in their circumstances? We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.